One of the bad things I think is, you know, sending anybody to bed without supper. And you hear so much as used as a form of discipline. And the other thing is, we've lost so much. But this patience, teaching children patience. We don't do that anymore.
How was it taught? Like, how did you learn that when you were a child? What were the ways in which you were taught patience and you would teach patience? Because I see.
Well, one
that
of the things my mother used to tell me is that when you make something, finish it. No matter how much it takes. When you've made a mistake, undo it and do it over again. Because if you don't, there's a mistake in it and it's going to bother you. And I find that we still do that. The only other thing is that she always said not to start something else unless you finish the first project. And in taking sewing or sewing courses and that sort of thing, they say keep 4 or 5 projects on the go. So when you get tired of one, do something else. And that's just completely opposite to what my mother told me not to do, to do those things. But I find that I do start a lot of things. I do have so many projects on the go all the time that if I get tired of one thing, I need to put it away and do something else.
But you always go back.
And there's
always finishes in the end.
Yeah.
So there too is two ways of patience.
Yeah. Patience, you got to, in order to sew and sew right, you got to have patience to learn the things that you need to learn.
The crafts and the arts that are a part of the lives of so many Native people, do you think that helps to teach the patience?
I think so. You've got to have patience to be able to sit for hours at a time and work on the beads, or anything you're doing, anything like making a pair of moccasins. Or making clothes, or beading. You know, it isn't something you can sit down for half an hour and do. You've got to do. You've got a few hours to do, if not the whole day. And that teaches you patience. I guess there are a lot of things that we still hold on to. It's just not noticeable, you know, because we don't visit one another anymore like we used to either. And people had to walk years ago to go and visit. Now all we got to do is jump in a car and go, and we still don't do it. The phone is just as handy. The only time is when they used to have party lines on the reserve, you know? Sometimes you could get to walk there to talk to someone instead of trying to get them on the phone. But most people have semi-private and private lines now. I think this Centennial thing is going to make a lot of people become aware of a lot of things that it was just taken for granted. We tend to take a lot of things for granted, I think. We have life so much easier than our parents did. You can go back just one generation and we have it a lot easier than our parents did. And most of us, you know, we just seem to take these things for granted. I shouldn't say we. I know I do. I know my family does. And I know other people, just by the way they talk, take a lot of things for granted.
If what would be the kinds of things that you would like to see people become more aware of because of the celebration? But
again, it would go right back to outfits, language. Language is very important. And one of the most important things. And the philosophy of that way, philosophy of that kind of life. Like a lot of people will say, well, she's got no business to have a television or be driving a car if she's going back to the traditional ways. But we heard Buffy St. Marie talk once at the university, and she said that there is no reason why an Indian cannot be 100% Indian, be 100% contemporary too. It's because it's the philosophy of life that is more important. one, some of the things we're talking about right now, that's philosophy. Because it's the way we are. It's the way we think, what is good and right, and what is bad. And a lot of people have lost that, that way of life, respecting yourself, respecting one another. They use a word, of course, but using the word isn't good enough. You have to do it. You have to live it. And unless you know how you're supposed to live, then you can't. See? So I think the history of our people, a lot of people are interested in the history of our people now. And it's gone back a few years, like, when I say a few years, it could be 10 years or 20 years or maybe 40 years. But it's just a recent thing. Because it was not very long ago when they made you ashamed to admit you were Indian, you know? And it's not like that anymore. Something started a bandwagon, and I think it goes back to the time after the Second World War when our men come back from overseas. That's when organizations started up anyway, and started the ball rolling. And now we have, at one point we had 7 organizations in Ontario alone proclaiming to be representing so many thousand Indians. And those, their things kind of overlap. Oh yes, oh yes. There are many, many more people going into it.
Is coming back. And the reason why a lot of Native kids that go to the white schools find it so hard is because the philosophy isn't taught like that in school, and they can't understand you. They can't understand what it is these people want from them because they're being taught it. They go to elders' meetings, they go to the Indian Center, they see people there, they listen to what's being said. They might just walk in the room and hear a few sentences and walk out, but they still got part of it. And they take that part with them and they carry it. And then sometime down the line, maybe 10 years down the line, it'll come back to them and they'll say, oh yeah, I caught on to it. But a lot of times when they go to the white schools, they don't understand these kids. Understand why they feel this way inside of them.
One of the things from teaching young children that I think of how we write a report card, for example, like if we're talking about craft work or the children learning skill with their hands, I mean, for a lot of us in our culture, it's something that's separate from us. It's something you learn how to do.
What
you are talking about is that the skills teach certain things that are beyond being able to do beadwork.
Exactly.
It's just like what I told you before in a circle. When I teach beadwork, it teaches patience. When I teach beadwork, and it teaches understanding, because you have to understand what you're putting down in order to put it down. And if your thread gets tangled or knotted, you have to have patience to undo it.
Sorry.
Even knitting, you've got to follow a pattern. Or even if you use your own, you're going to make mistakes.
And you're making a pattern in your child's life, and you're making a design in your child's life. Even when you're beading, or any kind of sewing, or any kind of craft work, if you use that as the circle of life, from the toddler, from the baby, to the grandparent, you can use that whole circle in your beadwork, or any kind of work that you do. It just doesn't have to be. But people were never told that that's what they're doing. I found out, and I've been beading now almost 10, 12 years, and I just found out not recently, and it was just because it came to me. It just all of a sudden I was sitting there thinking, this is just like the circle. It's just like a child that you bring the child up. When you're finished and you become a grandparent, you look back at that pattern that you made. And you see what you've done wrong, and then you can help your son or your daughter, maybe not make the same mistakes that you've made, or
I guess just thinking, sitting here thinking about it and talking about it, that we do still pass down a lot of things.
It's just that we never come out and speak about it.
Yeah, that's right. It's just something, it's there.
But see, for me, as a non-Native person coming here, I'm like on the outside looking in. So what I see are things that happen for you that aren't happening for me and aren't happening for my children.
Yeah, but it could if you looked at it in a way, okay.
As you said, it's so much a part of your life that in a way you almost take it for granted.
Exactly.
And you forget
exactly.
That it's there, but it's there.
But you must have something there passing to your children,
oh,
too,
sure.
Of course.
I do. I have
but
a lot
of
things.
They're just different things.
Yeah.
It's just like sitting in an elders conference and somebody's talking about colors, okay? This is one of the examples I used to give before, is the elders will say to you, okay, close your eyes for 15 minutes or 5 minutes and write down all the colors you need. Now, there could be 10 white people in the room and 10 Indians in the room, and they all got different colors. But the Indian people got all sort of dark colors. And the reason why they got dark colors is because it has a meaning to each of those dark colors. For them, your colors might be pink or yellow or light green or light blue or something different. But that is because those are meant for you.
I also think that as a non-Native person living out there, is that there's an awful lot. The same questions, when you talk about going out into the city and feeling crazy and feeling like, you know, caught up in the fast world, I think we're so caught up in the fast world, we don't ask the questions. So when I step back into seeing that either the people down south that are in my family, the Southerners in my family, or when I see, Native people here choosing, living a different way, because that's the pattern of their life, then it makes you question more how you live. And you have a choice.
Uh-huh.
You begin to
exactly.
say, well, do I really have to live this way? Is this the only way to live? It's like having a choice.
But you do have a choice because...
But sometimes you don't know it unless you see more. You have to see more to know that you've got a choice.
I went to a class one time and the teacher was asking questions to the Native student. Now the teacher was white and they had an all-Native student class. And I might have said it wrong, but he got the meaning. But one time I had told him, I said, if we had a pyramid and they had steps on either side and a white person was going up the steps, to get to the top before that Indian, he would jump over a bunch of steps and miss everything along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Only take what is important at that time to that person, not anything in the way. But if that Indian was going up those steps, he would take one step at a time to make sure he gathered all the information, not just part of it. And I had also told him that I found that a Native person was brought up for survival. In this world, they have to learn how to survive because it's a changing world. Every day is a changing world for the young kids, and they have to be brought up for survival, plus education. But survival is number one, because in order to get educated, you have to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not there, you're not going to get educated. And a non-Native person, a white person, is brought up for education. And there's a lot of bad things out there that happen,
mm-hmm.
that they can't handle. So they're not brought up for survival. They're only brought up for education purposes, to get a job, to be married, have kids, or have their own business, whatever. Whereas to a lot of Native people, it's important, but not as important as their life. He turned around, he told me, he says, you know, you hit it right on. He says, because he says, I remember when I used to go to school, I hated going to school. He said, I would have liked to go out in the woods and hunt or fish or whatever, do whatever I could out there. But he said, my parents kept taking me, they had to literally drag me to school for an education.
If you were the chief and you had control over everything in the reserve, what would be the things that you would like to see happen among the people on your reserve that would preserve culture. What are the things?
Definitely, it would be the language. If I had the power as chief, because even chief doesn't have that much power, he still has a boss above him somewhere. I would make sure the government looked at language as one of the highest priorities right now. And beyond that, I just don't know. It would definitely be the language.
Now, you had said before, you were pretty specific about how much language you thought, how you thought a program, a really effective language
and
program.
Immersion program. I think they're working towards that now, but they require teachers, and these teachers are being trained for it. I don't know how long it's going to take. It always seems like if they really put it in the priority that it deserves, the teachers would be trained year-round instead of once a year for 3 weeks. They've got to put a lot of time into it, a lot more than they're doing now. A lot more money has to go into it than there is put into it now. Right now, it's just a drop in a bucket. That's all it is. Not even, maybe sometimes not even a drop, half a drop. And there's got to be more of it. It's got to be an ongoing thing and not just a term of something in a term of maybe 2 or 3 years later to have another session. That's not good enough. It's got to be more than that. I think a lot of people have to be involved, and that's going to require a lot of money. I think in a classroom there should be, or in a school there should be several people who speak the language, so that no matter where that child goes and he's learning English, he has to talk Oneida to that person. They have to speak Oneida to that person. It almost has to be done exactly the way that it was taken away from us. But we don't want that. We didn't like it when it was taken away that way. But we know it's illegal to take children from your parent and make them learn a language. That would be the ideal situation, though.
But I wonder, when I look at the French immersion schools in London, how quickly the children, I see some of my little girls' friends who run the French immersion programs, and they're not in families that speak French. They're English-speaking families.
Well, kids,
but how quickly they learn it, because it is
children
immersion.
Are learn much quicker. Little kids, smaller they are, the more they can learn, and learn faster. By the time you get older, that learning process slows down a lot. But the little kids, which are our very future, need much more than they're getting now. Right now, they're getting kindergarten gets 10 minutes a day, and up to half an hour a day for grade 6. It is not nearly enough. It's unrealistic to think anybody can learn a language in that time. They could go for 100 years and still would at that pace. Things have to be speeded up. And I think what we were taught in the language program is that in the first year of school, the child gets majority of his program will be in English and a small amount in Oneida. Well, we use Oneida as an example because it's the one I'm interested in. And then grade 1 and 2, a little bit more. And I think that whole thing should be just completely reversed. So you hear nothing but Oneida when at a small age and introduce English a little at a time. And if they can, math can be taught in Oneida. And the English teacher can come along and talk about the same things and they'll put 2 and 2 together. They don't take long to put 2 and 2 together. But I think it should be completely reversed. And these are second language teachers. these are second language people, teachers, who are telling us this is the way it should be done. And I say, reverse that. And I believe it. I go along with your program if you reverse everything you're saying. But they won't do that, see. And because I talk too much, I ask too many questions, I don't get along very well with these people. And when I, because you see, linguistics was my major in, when I got my first degree. And when I come back here to work, they just weren't accepting anything I had to say. I eventually quit after organizing the language program. But now, I thought, well, when I decided to, I'll go to this meeting. And if they seem receptive, I'll stay. And they were very, very receptive to everything, any suggestion that I made.
This is your only reserve.
Yep.
For the language group here.
Well, I'm not working with the language program right now. It's this committee that I'm on. They're very receptive to any suggestions I make.
I think the reason why is because they probably really actually listened to you, but they didn't take it all in, and then they have to take time to take everything.
Well, we don't have that kind of time to be monkeying around. But, of course, the committee is still going. But 6 months I worked with these people. Nobody wanted to do anything. All it did, wasn't very much. And when I made a suggestion, they done it exactly the opposite. And it always ended up, they had to come back and do what I wanted done in the first place.
Make the opposite statement next
time. Yeah, reverse psychology.
Yeah.
So maybe coming year's time, or when what's going up right now is kind of an alternate school sort of idea, survival school sort of thing. Maybe then I'll get back involved in language again. Because there's a lot of things to be done. I mean, I always get the feeling if somebody is afraid I want their job, jobs can be made. I don't want anybody's job. That's not what I went to school for, to take somebody's job away from them. And the people who I get support from will say, well, if they'd done their job right, they wouldn't have to worry about it. But I really feel sometimes that I think that's what a lot of people think, that I'm out to get their job. I can make so many jobs, given a chance, you know. There's absolutely so much to do here, that it's just unbelievable how many jobs could be made if given the right powers.
Maybe we can talk about the star blanket before this.
Yes,
did
you find out about the star blanket?
Well, the star blanket has 8 points. And it talks about the four seasons and the four elements. That's what those 8 points add up to. Now, the four seasons is simple enough, but the four elements, what's that? Air, water, fire. I had it all figured out. Air, water, fire. I don't know. Could be the earth. Yeah. See, my son-in-law is being initiated, and I have to have this coat done for June. And there's also 8 levels of things that he has to go through. And this is a gift to the people who are.